Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
A number of years ago, I knew a young couple that came into some money unexpectedly. Some kind of distant kin of the young mother, and I guess it was kin that she wasn't even aware that she had. And so they inherited this sum of money, and it wasn't a huge amount of money, but it was roughly double their annual salary. And so for a fairly young couple with children, a couple who struggled financially like a lot of young people do, it was a significant amount of money. And so they came to me and they wanted to, you know, what would this old guy think? What did he think they ought to do? And so I gave them some suggestions, and of course they totally ignored them. And I stayed in touch with that couple, and I watched some things, and very quickly they both were driving a different vehicle, not new vehicles, but significantly better vehicles than they had had. And they did a nice vacation, probably the nicest vacation they had ever had. And then I was in their home, and there was that new big television. You'll forgive me for this, but bigger television probably than anybody needs. And then I heard about some other toys they had, and then I discovered about 3 years after they inherited that money, they were having trouble paying their bills. That money was all gone. Well, they did have some 2-3-year-old toys. Judgmental, perhaps. But I couldn't think that, you know, what a waste. What a waste to receive something good and positive and helpful and just kind of fritter it away. Let it slip through your fingers. Do you know how easy it is to squander a bit of money? Do you know how easy it is to let an opportunity slip through your fingers? Do you know how easy it is to let close relationships drift and become distant? Do you know how easy it is to let opportunities slip through your fingers? But maybe most important is this question. Do you know how easy it is to let a relationship with God, which is so vital and so important and so close and so good, cool, become a bit distant, no longer have the fire and the excitement that it once had? I want to read two Bible stories to you this morning. First, from the Old Testament, the story of Samson, and perhaps it's pretty familiar to some of us. I'm reading from Judges, the 13th chapter, and I read these verses. A certain man of Zorah called Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was childless. Unable to give birth, the angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You're barren and childless, but you're going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines." And then down towards the end of that chapter, Scripture tells us, "The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtaol. But I also then have to read from the 16th chapter, and I'm picking that up, chapter 16 and verse 15. Probably need to fill some story in. Samson, this Nazirite, this child from before birth, dedicated to be a Nazirite, that is a special person God has chosen, a person that had some restrictions on their life, only so that it would empower them to do what God called them to do. This is Samson, who is called to be a prophet, if you please, certainly a judge, probably would be a better term for him. And he had this task to deliver Israel from the Philistines, and that was incredibly important to the people of Israel at this stage in their history. And so here is this child called by God and gifted by God. And he did some dumb things. Chapter 60, starting reading with the 15th verse. Then he also married a lady named Delilah. And Delilah said to him, he has put himself in a position where he's made a lot of poor choices, and the Philistines certainly want to get rid of him. He's killed a ton of them. And so Delilah says to him, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you've made a fool of me, and you haven't told me the secret of your strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said, "because I've been a Nazirite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaven, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He's told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him. And his strength left him. And then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in the prison. From position and privilege to prison. But let me read another story to you this morning. Another story that's going to be familiar to many of us. And I'm reading the story of the prodigal son, and I am reading from Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. This is a story that Jesus is telling, a parable. Jesus continued, "There was a young man who had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them, and not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death. I will set out and I'll go back to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you.'" I'm not talking about this, but I just thought I would note that sin against whomever else it might be is also sin against God and sin against heaven. That's for free. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father, and while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and a celebration. For this son of mine was dead, but is alive again. He was lost, but is found. And so they began to celebrate. The prodigal son, absolute waste of his resources. The prodigal son, intentionally, deliberately making a decision to walk away from that which he had. A conscious decision. An active rebellion. Just simply deciding that I want to know what life is like for some other people. And in spite of all my family has given me and done for me, I'm going to turn my back. This is a parable. So let's say I'm going to turn my back on God and I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm doing that deliberately and intentionally, and I'm doing it consciously. I know exactly what I'm doing, and I'm deciding to do it. What a waste of that with which he had been blessed. So there are those who leave God by deliberate choice. Samson's story is a different story, isn't it? Samson's story, and certainly we couldn't read all of it this morning, but Samson's story is doing something dumb. Samson's story is not realizing how blessed and privileged I am to have all that I have. And so Samson does some things that may not make a lot of sense to us in our culture, but for instance, Samson is walking along and there's a dead ass and he grabs the jawbone of that a dead ass and he uses it and he uses it a club and he kills a bunch of Philistines with it. And so we think that's all neat and cool, don't we? But you understand, he's a Nazarite and he's not allowed to even touch a part of a dead animal. But you know, when you do something like that, it doesn't really seem like that big a deal, does it? You know, one little ignoring of the rules is certainly not a major problem. Well, sometimes if you do one dumb little thing thinking it's not going to make much difference, it becomes easier to do another dumb thing and another disobedient thing. And we keep those disobedient things, at least in our own thinking, as not all that important. And probably should throw in that he ignored God's call and made a very poor choice in terms of a marriage. And he didn't just make a conscious, deliberate decision to walk away from God. He just slipped away one decision at a time, one stupid act at a time. Samson, the prodigal son. Samson ends up in prison. the prodigal son ends up in the pig pen. How easy it is to just lose what we have. How tragic it is when we fail to realize the blessings of God that we have, when we start to ignore the grace of God, when we begin to take for granted the forgiveness of God, when somehow salvation isn't quite as exciting as it once was, and it suddenly doesn't seem as important to us as it once did. How tragic when we decide to go our own way, whether through rebellion like the prodigal, or through slipping away from the center of God's will. Here's the other thing they had in common. And I want to say this now in case I get panicky about the time and somehow ignore it at the end. So here's the truth about both of them also, isn't it? They both could come back. The prodigal son could have some kind of a awakening to reality and say, that was dumb. The slaves, I know this translation I read said servants. Understand that in biblical times, the difference between a servant and slave was frequently not noticeable. The slaves that work for my dad have it a whole lot better than I have. I'll go back, sell him myself to him as a slave. At least I'll have good food and be taken care of. He come to the realization and he returned. Samson, we didn't read this, but at the end of his life, redeems himself in a sense at least by having regained strength, and he was called to destroy the Philistines. And so in that regaining of strength, he manages even in his chained position to pull down this huge building that has a lot of Philistines in it, and they're killed. And Scripture tells us that he killed more people in that final act, which of course killed him too, than in all of the other things that he had done to destroy the Philistines. Both of them experienced this reality that it doesn't make any difference where you've gone or why you got there, you can always come back to God. God always welcomes folk back. But first, I want to read another scripture to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 1 and 2, it says, Paul is writing, of course, to the Corinthian church, and he says, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, the words of God, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Verse 1, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Don't waste God's grace. Don't waste all that God has done for you. And for some of us, that includes what God has done for our family and family members. Paul writes, and he says, you have to remember that in your hour of need, God looked upon you in favor. God heard you. God saved you. He extended his salvation. It is still the time of God's favor. God continues to extend his salvation. The scripture is telling us that God has been good to us. Don't waste the goodness of God. Don't waste God's grace. Don't just blow off that salvation. Don't discount the importance of what God has done in your life. Don't minimize the benefits of serving God. Don't waste God's grace. We don't bask in the favor of God's grace because we deserve it. We don't glory in God's salvation because we have earned it. God has initiated. It is God who has extended all of these blessings to us. Paul says, Don't waste God's grace. God initiated that. Romans 5:8 tells us that while we were yet sinners, before we knew anything about God, before we'd accept Him, before we'd committed ourselves to serving Him, before we even understood salvation, God loved us, gave His Son, Jesus Christ, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God has extended His blessings and His forgiveness. Don't waste what God has done. We've read about both Samson and the prodigal son, and I suspect that neither had been taught the truth that Scripture gives us in Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, which it says to us that to whom much is given, much will be required. Samson had a lot. He had favor with God. He was marked for leadership. And he let all that go. What a waste of God's grace. And yet, what about us? What about us? You have found favor with God. God has extended His love to you. God has extended His grace to you. God has extended His forgiveness to you. You have found favor with God. You have found blessing before God. Don't waste that. Samson, of course, was called to serve God, probably in a special way. But you know what? How is that different than us? God has called us to serve Him, and God has gifted us to serve Him, and we each have our responsibilities before God. And so, although God tapped Samson before Samson was even born, maybe that's true of us, but if not, at least be conscious of the way that God has tapped you on the shoulder. At least be conscious of the way that God is calling you to serve. At least be conscious of the ways that God wants to use you in the building of His kingdom. You see, Samson wasn't any different than the rest of us. He was a person that God wanted to use for the building of His kingdom and the blessing of His people. And that's also true of every one of us. Samson was called to be different than the people around him. He was a Nazarite. But guess what? God has called each of us to be different than the world around us. God has called each of us to serve Him in the ways and the places, the opportunities, the experiences that He offers us. We too have been called to serve. In the words of Matthew, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them all that Jesus said, teaching them the Word of God. Well, maybe like Samson, we become too busy doing the things we want to do, enjoying the power we have, liking the luxuries we wouldn't admit to that, would we? Liking the material things that we have and doing the things we want to do and going where we want to go and think how easy it is to focus on all those things that we want and give little more than lip service to what it is that God is calling us to do. It is so easy to get caught up in the responsibilities of life, or worse yet, to get caught up and consumed by the pleasures of life, the things we want, the things we enjoy. What a waste of God's grace. What a tragedy to spend life doing important things but missing the most important things, that is, pursuing the call of God in our lives and serving Him where He calls us to service. could talk about the prodigal son. Probably the prodigal son isn't here this morning. But some of us have prodigal kids. Yeah, we do. Some of us have prodigal kids. We need to continue to watch for them, just like the prodigal's father watched for him. We need to continue to pray for them, that they too will come to themselves, that they will begin to understand that they can come back. They can come back sometimes to family, but certainly they can come back to God. And there might be folk here who are struggling with that very issue. It can be tempting to walk away from what God has done for us, for what the church means to us, for the spiritual values that our families have taught us. It can be tempting to walk away. And that message this morning is simple. Don't waste God's grace. Father, that's my prayer this morning for these your people. That we would not move away from our love and commitment to you. That we would not become careless in our spiritual walks and put distance between us and you. My prayer, Father, is that for those who may be tempted to boldly walk away from your grace, that you would put your arms of love around folks so much that they just cannot escape your grasp. Father, my prayer for these your people is that we would not waste your wonderful grace. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30. At 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.